Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Deontay, also known as Big Sir. Here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation, we want to be the voice for the community and the prisoner. We seek to stay up to date with information to share with those behind bars and the loved ones who care for them. Another Chance aims to be the bridge that keeps both parties unified. We must never neglect the prisoners of our country or forget to encourage the families in our communities that are impacted by the removal of said loved ones from their free world. We will do our absolute best to keep you all informed, but more than anything, may we all stay in prayer that this too shall pass. With that being said, I'd just like to open us up with a word of prayer. Father God, so grateful for you. So grateful for another chance to talk, Father God, and just spread some good news, Father God, but just some good information out to those who are willing to listen. We thank you so much for your love and your guidance to us all. Be with us tonight, Father God, as we learn from another brother and just grow in our knowledge of you and our understanding of transitioning out of prison. We love you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, it's been a very eventful day for myself, just to open us up a little bit. Update on my brother. He's doing well. Still excited to get out soon, hopefully, and I know the prisons are kind of picking up as far as the coronavirus, and more guys are definitely falling ill with it. But I just stay in prayer and try to stay positive about the situation. And right now, that's the best thing we could do for all those around us, for sure. I've had family members come down with the virus. I've seen people lose jobs, people laid off, people salaries cut. I mean, all kind of stuff. People fall ill. And so I've seen it all. I've been around it all. And so, but in the midst of it, I know that God is good. God is in control. And for those of you who do believe, man, just know that he has us and he is protecting us. And he's going to guide us right through this. And we have to be confident in that more than anything. So I just find myself all the more grateful, man, just to have breath, to be able to do this show, to be able to pour some positivity back in the world when so many people are pushing negative. I just want to be a voice of positivity and of hope and of guidance and of just freedom to really embrace who God created us to be. So even in the midst of struggle and when things aren't going well, the beauty of it is we should be praising and joyful about our relationship with Christ, whether things are going well or whether things are not going well, because God is good all the time. And so that should be our focus. That should be our heart, period. It doesn't really matter what the day brings us. We know that God is good. So just want to share that little word with you all. We are going to have a guest on tonight at some point. I'm sure he's going to hop on here in a second. Man, but once again, man, another chance, we would like to know if you have family members or if you have a story that you want to share. We are so open to having people on to talk about their story. I think everyone has a story, a unique story, and God bless you with that story so you could share that story and use your story for that may be struggling with that exact thing that you struggle with and you overcame. So for people that come on our show that were in prison but transitioned out of prison and made something out of themselves, that's a huge story to so many other people that may have been in that situation or may be in that situation now, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how do I do it? What we don't realize is our success stories in our testimonies bring hope. And that hope, it's just enough fuel for a person to succeed and propel themselves forward. So don't be shy about telling your story because it's very important. Federal prison system expands virus testing to find hidden asymptomatic infections. That's good. They're going to test more in the federal prisons because some people are asymptomatic. A lot of people are actually asymptomatic according to what they say. So that's definitely that applies in jails as well. So that could be a reason why it's spreading so much, I guess is what they're saying. Trump administration reverses prisoner coronavirus release policy. On Monday, some prisoners were told that officials were no longer considering early releases for inmates who have served less than half their sentence. A coronavirus-related policy shift that could have cleared the way for thousands of federal prisoners to be sent home early was abruptly reversed this week, according to friends and family members of inmates. Prison officials indicated earlier this month that inmates who had served less than half their sentences could still be considered for early release to limit the spread of infection behind bars. However, inmates in various prisons who had been put in pre-release quarantine almost 2 weeks ago were advised Monday by authorities that the policy had changed. Lawyers and associates said officials would not waive a requirement that prisoners must have completed 50% of their sentence to be eligible for early release during the pandemic, the inmates were told. Wow, so that definitely would have applied to my oldest brother. So if he gets wind of that information, I'll talk to him about it. I'm sure that may bring him down a little bit. But, man, God is still in control. I believe Jeff has joined us. Let me connect him in. Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah, it's good. Man, Jeffrey, just I see a few things about you, but I'd rather you just tell us a little bit about yourself, just to open us up. So, take the lead on that.
All right, sounds good. So, the past few years, well, I'll go back. I was arrested back in about 2011. I spent about 3 months in jail. And that was not a very good, pleasant experience. Before then, I was working in the hospital. I spent about 4 or 5 years in school and worked in healthcare for about 10 years. So when I was arrested, I wasn't able to work in healthcare anymore, so I had to find something else. So ever since then, I've been experimenting with entrepreneurship and starting businesses and stuff, so I've been doing that ever since I got out. So it kind of pushed me into doing what I wanted to do in the first place. So that's what I've been doing. You know, I've been in construction, healthcare, woodworking. I even started a woodworking business. And that leads me to what I've been doing recently, which is web design, web development, search engine optimization, and online marketing. And I've been doing that about 2 years. I got into it a little bit previously, but not too much until the last year or so.
What led you down that road? Web design is pretty unique.
Yeah, it was something new, and it was just interesting. I like creating things and having something built that looked nice on the internet. I don't know. It was just kind of interesting to me at the time, and it paid quite well. So,
yeah. Has this been a fruitful time for your business with everybody on the web so much now?
To an extent, it has, but again, I have a couple major clients that I usually work with the most, and I guess this is kind of teaching me how to branch out as well too. But the major clients I worked with are in they have like physical stores, and one is a nightlife industry. So none of that's going on right now. So they're not making any money. So they're not able to pay out any money to me. So that's kind of slowed down on that front.
I got you. Yeah, it's interesting how it affects so many different kind of, people in different situations. So I just wanted to ask, see how it was affecting you.
Yeah, right. It makes sense. Now they're, you know, the online businesses, like the courses and things like that, they're doing quite well. But unfortunately, I don't have any of those clients right now. So, but I'm still looking.
Yeah. So what brought you to Another Chance? How did you get connected with us?
Well, like a few other people that I've heard on the podcast, that I responded to a Craigslist ad that Tawanda put up. She was looking for help, and I liked the energy and the verbiage of her ad. So I contacted her, and I spoke with her on the phone, and she just has a lot of energy and a certain swag about her that it gives me, you know, it gives me a lot of energy too, and makes me super passionate. And I just fell in love ever since. I just wanted to give back any way I could.
I think that's a definite unique quality in a person, that urge to want to help somebody. Did that start somewhere in your life? Did someone help you that caused you to want to give back?
That's a good question. I think I had it from an early age, but I didn't really. I had it because I went into nursing, and that's what I was doing. So there's a kind of a little piece of it there. And then after I was arrested, and I seen how many people were not getting the support they needed and falling right back into the trap, and that kind of sparked something in me too.
Yeah. No, that's good. So when you were transitioning to the outside, what obstacles did you face, and how did you overcome them?
Well, when I was transitioning, one of the biggest ones was a support system, and I luckily had a pretty good one. My wife and family was there to help me. And I had friends at the time, but you find out who your true friends are. And that kind of was an issue. I had a hard time dealing with that in the beginning. But I soon realized that it was better off that way. It kind of hurts at the time, but then you realize that you're better off without them in your life anyways. So that was kind of difficult. One of the big ones was finding work, because after that I had a specialized degree, and everyone wanted to hire you until they found out that you had a record. So I had multiple interviews, and I even got hired for a few jobs right on the spot, and then for some reason they done a background check, and that was it. They took the offer off the table. So that was a really hard one, and that's what. And luckily, I was able to start something, and just persistence, and just keep trying, and found something that worked and made some money at the time. So that was kind of hard. And another one, I would say, it kind of goes along with that is paying the court costs and the probation costs, and then complying with probation requirements and everything. That was pretty difficult. You have like a new, and I was only incarcerated for about 3 months, so I had it pretty easy compared to a lot of people, but that was still long enough for me to see a whole new outlook, and I just had like a newfound freedom whenever I got out, and I wanted to do all these things which I wasn't allowed to according to probation.
Yeah.
So it was pretty difficult.
You definitely mentioned that support system. If you could share maybe a moment where that brought you some hope during your time inside with families or friends that may be listening to this, what is the value of having someone reaching out to you while you're incarcerated?
Oh, it's everything. When you're in there, you just feel like everything, your life is over, and I don't know how many times, unfortunately, that I contemplated suicide and everything. And one of the only things that kept me from that was, you know, knowing that family was waiting and they were there to support me. I was getting letters from, and it's just something simple as a paragraph letter that, you know, they would bring it to you and that would be your whole day. That's one of the best things that could happen in there. So yeah. It gives you hope and it helps you to, it keeps you motivated to want to do better and to push forward.
Yeah. You talked about the probation kind of making it a little bit more difficult. What was your mindset like being out, transitioning back into the free world? How did you keep a positive mindset in the midst of the losing the jobs because of the record now and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was very difficult, especially whenever you get turned down time after time and you just want to give up. But, you know, one of the things that kept me going through it was, again, the support system, family being there, supporting, you know, just the realization that it's temporary, and that there's opportunity everywhere. You just have to look for it, and you have to maintain a positive attitude and just keep pushing forward. And that's one of the key things is persistence and just not giving up no matter what happens. And it's all the mindset, and that's the biggest part of all this, I believe, is you're your own worst enemy. So
yeah.
if you're going to make it, it's going to be because of your mind and your mindset.
Did you develop some form of a game plan while you were incarcerated? I know you spent a ton of time in there, but were you thinking about the steps you were going to take once you got out, why you spent that 3 months?
I don't think I did. I just had the mind that I wanted to get out, and that was the extent of it. And I think it would have been a lot easier if I would have been able to, if someone would have said, you know, what are you going to do when you get out? And if they would have just sat there and talked me through it, I believe that would have helped a lot. But they really don't, it's not that they don't care. They just have a job to do and they stick to the one thing. So,
yeah.
And that would maybe be something to think about is just asking people, you know, what's your plan? What are you going to do? And just maybe giving specific things that may happen. And asking you, what are you going to do about it if that happens, or if you can't get a job, or how are you going to react? Because people tell you that it's going to be hard, but you don't really understand how hard it's going to be until you do get out.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point just about, I guess it made me think of prison reform. Do you think there's much reform being done in the prisons?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, they, and a lot of it, I'm sure, is financial and all that, but it's, you know, it's people's lives at stake and people's families. You know, they definitely need the funding up, but they try to do what they can, and it's definitely not enough.
I think it goes right back to what you said. It's about having the right mindset. You know, I speak to one person, and she was like, yeah, they had some programs in there. She took advantage of it, but then some people won't take advantage of even the little that they may have. So it's definitely a mindset thing. But I'm with you, man. I think there should be some programs instilled in the prisons that are truly reforming people to at least develop some form of a game plan for when they get back out. My oldest brother's been in and out of jail since he was probably 16 years old. He's about to be 30 now, and he may have spent 4 birthdays outside of some form of boot camp or incarceration, and now he's in federal prison. So, but always going back to that same environment is so toxic. Can you say anything about that? I know you mentioned you had to cut off some friends, or maybe they kind of cut themselves off from you, and it ended up being a good thing. What's the value of releasing yourself from some of those toxic relationships?
Yeah, that's a big one. A lot of my friends, some of them went to prison, but some of them didn't. But the big issue was just the I was basically doing everything they were, and it wasn't very healthy behaviors. Like we were going out and drinking almost every night, and driving and stuff like that. So that's definitely unhealthy and risky behaviors that could have, you know, it could have been worse. So I'm grateful for that it wasn't. But I mean, if I would still be hanging around them, and they're still doing the same things, going out and drinking and partying and doing stuff like that. And I know for sure if I was hanging out with them still, I would be doing the same thing. And I was listening to another podcast the other day, and one of the things they said that stood out to me was, you are the average of the 5 people you hang around with the most. So that got me thinking about, you know, who I hang out with, if I want to be like those people or not. And if I don't, why am I still hanging around them?
Yeah, I work with young men coming out of the system, and some coming from prisons or jails, or just in state custody in some form or fashion. And I've seen the environment make a huge difference on how a young man would act. And I've seen a guy, go back to jail twice in our program and come down to our Tennessee location and thrive. And now he's talking about getting married. He has a good job. He's doing well. But it's when that environment changed, because our other campus is in New York, and he's around everybody he knows, and he has any access that he can really need or want. And now we bring him down to Tennessee, and he thrives. And now he's doing great, and he's has a job, and he's getting ready to get married and stuff like that. So I just see the value of the environment being changed, and just when you cut yourself off from so many of those negative ties and just put yourself around some positive people, it definitely rubs off on you and creates a huge tidal wave in your life towards the right direction. So super grateful you were able to do that. But it's definitely not an easy thing to do at all.
No, definitely not. And it's kind of multifaceted, and whatever you can do to increase your chances is what you need to do. I mean, it's great.
So say someone wanted to create a web page with you. How do they go about contacting you?
Well, they can email me. They can use my personal email. It's Jeffrey, Jeffrey, 5353@hotmail.com. And I'm also on Twitter, Jeffrey_Still.
Okay. That's good, man. Jeffrey, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Was there anything that we didn't go over, that we didn't discuss, that you wanted to mention tonight?
No, I don't believe so. I appreciate having me on.
Absolutely. I hope to get you back on again, and just prayers for your family, yourself, and that your business continues to succeed during the midst of all of this. Be safe out there. Be blessed.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Bye. Another great call with with another great individual, just finding ways to be successful in the midst of transition out of incarceration, but really in the midst of transition period. I think we all find ourselves in our own seasons, if you called it. And right now we're in the midst of a season. The word tells us that none of this stuff will last. And so even this coronavirus pandemic, we're in the midst of a season. And so how you deal with this season is so important. We can allow my finances were impacted. I could easily allow that to put me in a hole of depression and bound me and make me not fruitful during this time. Or I could praise God in the midst of my circumstance and really thrive and be fruitful. And so once again, I always go back to that Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And once again, just to remind you, he's speaking to Israel at this time while they're in bondage, while they're in slavery to the Babylonians, right? And so what we got to understand is he's telling them, even in the midst of that situation, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He tells them to be fruitful in the midst of slavery. So be fruitful in the midst of an uncomfortable position. I know this coronavirus has put many of us in an uncomfortable position, but God tells us, trust me, be fruitful. Anyway, so, man, I just can't really I know I've been on my positive tip this whole podcast, but I'm so just amazed at what God has done in my life, what he's doing around me. And though people are hurting and people are sick, and I'm definitely praying for healing and financial relief for family members, for myself, for people all around me. So I just find ways to be positive in the midst of all of this, and I really just want everybody to focus on that. It's a lot of negative out there today, and we just got to push positivity, not neglect the reality, but push positivity and find joy in the fact that if I say I'm a believer, then my joy and my hope shouldn't change based on the circumstances. If I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord, then I dwell in the house of the Lord in the midst of a bright and sunny day, and I dwell in the house of the Lord in the midst of a storm. And that's the best place to be in the midst of a storm. And I know when it's bright and sunny and everything's positive, we try to stray away from the Lord because we think we got it together. But God is telling us to dwell with me all the more because seasons come and go. And right now we're in the midst of a struggling season and a struggling time for the world. But, man, for those of us who choose to dwell in the Lord, I hope that we find joy tonight and that we uplift those around us. I'll close us with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for you. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for this time. Love you so much. So just amazed at all you've done in my life, Father God, and life of those around us, Father God. Thank you for another chance for people who are willing to advocate for the prisoner, Father God, but also for the families who are hurting. Also, the more we thank you so much for your guidance in our lives, your control, Father God. And as we just seek to live, help us to live better, to lead better, most of all, to love better, because through our love, people will come to know you, and that's more important than anything. We thank you so much for your son and his sacrifice, and that we live in a way that is worthy of your gospel. I appreciate y'all coming on tonight. Y'all have a great night. Be blessed.